Welcome back. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania, and this is Mocha Gumbo, and it's been forever. And I'm Kevin.
And I'm James.
It's been 3 weeks?
Yes.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Something
it's,
like that?
You abandoned me twice, so...
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, retribution for last semester.
Oh, okay.
Abandoned me three times.
I had an illness. You got married, so...
Yeah. I did get married.
Congratulations, Kevin.
Yeah. Feel free to send me gift baskets or whatever, diapers, whatever married people need.
Yeah. He'll be pregnant in a few months.
No. That was the whole reason. Bun in the oven for 6 months.
Oh.
And we got married 2 months ago. It's been long enough... Oh, wow. Wow. I'm coming in loud.
You're coming in sexy.
Oh, thank you.
It's good to hear. Can you hear me, by the way?
I can't hear you, but that's just because I have this really low.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There we go.
I missed this, the dynamic.
Yeah, it's been long enough. We've been gone long enough that I feel a little awkward.
That's right, yeah.
I feel like a fresh-born fawn stumbling around in the... Is that...
Still covered in the mom juice?
Yeah. Oh. Oh, God.
Yeah, that was a lot. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. I don't want to bring it that far.
Oh, it's that was, a minute and a half.
I think
of
we
show
got
and
the
already.
Extended metaphor was apparent enough. Has anything happened in the past?
No, actually, there have been no events.
Yeah.
Like, nothing has happened with anyone or anything in the past 2 weeks.
I think I hit the peak of apathy for the semester.
Oh,
you know,
right.
I always hit that midway through. We're coming up to week 10, I think.
Yeah.
Next week is, and that's always for me. That's definitely like the apex. After that, I get progressively more insane, and then the insanity balances out with, you know, it becomes less stress and just more insanity. It's almost fun,
oh,
actually.
No, that's
you know, like going crazy.
Like, at this point, I had looked at my clock when I had a class at 3:10, and I left my room at 3:15, and I was like, well, all right. Let's just deal with this now. It doesn't matter. And as much as I love my professor, it's a CS writing course. Like,
computer ethics.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the topics are generally interesting, but it's two
I would
or three
love
people.
To, I would love to take that. That sounds really interesting.
It's two or three people who just constantly monopolize the conversation. But it's not like they're not saying anything intelligent or particularly interesting. They are very well versed and well spoken people, but. That's the fact that they are that way is intimidating to me. I don't want to jump into a conversation where I'm going to sound like an idiot. Which is why I don't talk much on the show.
Even in classes where I'm like the... Yeah, okay. Even in classes where I'm the... Of course, everyone is a novice in something. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're always going to be the subordinate in some class. You're not going to be good at everything. But even the classes where I'm on the upper echelon of intellect for whatever the subject is...
Humble brag.
Yeah. Exactly. But even for those classes, I recognize that I'm too excited because I'm good at it. But I don't... That's not on the record. I know
okay,
I'm good right, at certain right, things.
Fair.
But even the things I know I'm good at, I don't want to destroy other people's... I'll, like, shut myself up. Like, I'll literally calculate, okay,
oh, that's fair, okay,
it's been 20 minutes since I said anything. Maybe I'll add another thing. I've learned over the years... Like, I'll learn that... because I've been on the other side. I know what it's like when there's some... there's.
So you don't want to be that guy that
In geology, whatever the intro course is, we were going round robin answering a hypothetical, like why, how can we create?
Oh, this isn't going to turn out well.
No, it's not. You know, how can we create sediment or something like that? Like, what are the ways we can create sediment? Like an intro question. We're like, weathering, rainfall, erosion, and. I go breaking rocks against other rocks, and you know the professor goes, oh, good, okay, and then
I love that response. If I can interject, just when you say something and it's so obvious to everyone else, especially the professor, where it's just like,
yeah, go,
oh.
And then there's about a 3 second pause where they pretend to be contemplating your useless vapid thought, and then they go, okay, anyone else?
In the CS department, they just completely shut you down. You'll say it, and they're like, "All right, whatever." Anyone? Does anyone have something intelligent to say or relevant?
But immediately after I said this, you know, I felt like I was saying it in like a Brooklyn accent, like I was, you know, some, I don't know, just like some schmo off the street going, "Hey, you break rocks against other rocks."
Oh, like.
And then after I, it kind of came out that way. And after I said that, this, now I'm, this isn't because he's British, but obviously his British twang added to the sting.
Mm.
He raises his hand. Clearly, he adds a little more geology background because I have zero. He goes, "I was thinking more along the lines of abrasion," and I look over and I'm like, "You son of a like, dude!" Now I look like more of an idiot.
Yeah.
We go from "Why don't you smash a rock with another rock?" to "I think it might be nice to consider abrasion." I was like, "Dude, yeah, I hate you so much."
It's that's the thing about British accents, though. It's they're lovely. They really are. But I always feel like I'm being condescended upon.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just. You picture it with, like, you know, the nose up, like the...
Right. Like, if you say Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers...
Picked a, yeah.
For some reason, if you say Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers...
Yeah.
It sounds like... It goes from being, like, a tongue twister to a statement on, like, life and truth. Like, it sounds, like, so profound.
What
when
if Peter is... What if Peter's us and our peppers are... Our decisions, and we have to pick our decisions.
You right? Add a British twang to anything, and it'll sound like that. And I don't know.
Even insults, they don't sound so scathing. It's just, it's more of like a...
No, I think they're more subtly scathing.
Really?
It goes from like if you are just having a very Anglican bash of words, you're just throwing, really trying to like more physically hurt than emotionally hurt someone. It's, at least it's obvious. The thing about a smug, sly... You know, British insult. I'm talking along the lines of like the couth of James Bond. He'll say something and it won't immediately fester.
Oh, like creeping,
but then over time like you'll be like, what did he mean? You'll you know, you'll be laying down in bed and go, what does he mean? That's the, you know, I think I would prefer a more brutal
one. It's the lingering insult.
And I don't know. I don't know why it's. Is it? There's no particular reason. It can't just be that it's merely the sound, just the way it hits your eardrum that a British twang or a British vernacular makes it sound either more intelligent or more sly or more scathing.
The dictation, not the dictation. When you speak words, it's your.
When you speak words,
yeah. All right, showing off my intelligence. It's the inflection of infliction.
Inflection.
Like.
Well, it might be an infliction depending
least
on how much
us,
pissed them off.
at least to Americans, we tend to talk more quickly and just kind of muddle words together. But the British, it's. It's interesting to hear the highs and lows and the stress on certain parts of words, or it just sounds more intelligent because you're taking more time to, I don't know, at least for me, it seems like if you're speaking with that accent, it's more thought out. I don't know. I guess the speed of speech is also really
important. You can't generalize because, I mean...
Oh, no, absolutely not.
No, based on provinces, like... If we go a little farther south and we get more of a Cockney thing going on.
Oh, like a Cockney or
that's
a Welsh.
That is a muddling of syllables.
Yeah, that's awful.
And you actually just completely skip letters, not because it's their particular brand of enunciation. It's just lazy.
No, because they all gargle with marbles.
Yes. peanut butter on the roofs of their mouths.
I hate that. Oh. That always makes me uncomfortable. I don't know why.
Peanut butter on the roof of your mouth?
Anything on the roof of my mouth. Or anything.
Oh,
I've been getting a lot of stuff just stuck in my teeth. I don't know why. I don't know if that's me or the foods I'm eating.
Are you eating glue?
No, not recently.
When'd you kick that habit?
It's like a lot of Upper and Marquee, our dining halls, for those who don't know, have been dishes with like sunflower seeds small things.
Stringy things, too, will really kill you.
In the bottom, like, not even in between the teeth, it's like under the, it's awful.
I hate the feeling of, all right, let me separate the effect of eating Captain Crunch. I hate. I obviously love Captain Crunch, but I'm not sure if you've experienced this. Captain Crunch leaves a glaze on the top of the roof of your mouth. It's like someone took a glue stick and just like put it there. And for the next 9-10 years, you're stuck just licking the top of your roof of your mouth to try to melt it off with saliva. It's torture. And it will actually last like into the mid-afternoon for me if I have it in the morning.
That's ridiculous.
I miss having cereal in the morning. I can't remember the last time... Like, it used to be ritual for me. I can't remember the last time I woke up and had cereal.
I think the reason you have cereal is inherently because of the convenience, and now that we live in a location where people provide food for us. Like, they
Oh, your parents didn't provide food?
I mean, they did, but not... It wasn't eggs and bacon and all. My parents bought cereal and I ate cereal, right?
Sometimes or cardboard if you ran out of
mini muffins, or... Yeah, sometimes I had sleep for dinner. so, basically... but here I can have bacon, I can have eggs, I can have some kind of protein is huge in the morning. It gets you up. Like I snapped too early.
Mm-hmm.
I messed it up, but it gets you up like that. You were supposed to snap. You have your fingers poised.
Oh, I was contemplating making a semi. I don't think it was racist. I think it was more nationalist. It had to do something with... Actually, no, it's not even. You know the Asian cartoons where they don't sync up the sound with the...
Oh, no, that's not even like a... It's because...
That's an objective fact.
It's an objective fact because the dubbing of English over Japanese, Japanese is longer than English, apparently. Uh-huh. Like, it takes longer to say things in Japanese. So when you have... Like the anime, or if you're doing an interview, for example, if you're watching an interview in history with a Japanese person, it'll be like, "My grandfather went to the," like, you know what I mean? It's awful.
Just want you to know that joke is not gonna translate well on radio.
I didn't sync up my mouth movements.
It has
with
a distinct visual element.
Well, this was for you, Kevin. This is we're having a conversation, and there are just people listening.
Right. That's how we frame the show, but. It's really
The show is a very long, non-topical conversation with a nudge that there is a fourth wall.
Yeah, and we break it a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, we inherently it's radio. I think it's worth.
I don't know how. If we had a devout group of listeners. This would absolutely change.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We would be way more... But now, like, we're hoping that some senile man who's doing 90 on the freeway who happens to come in the general vicinity of our... the general proximity of our radio tower turns this on and listens. Mm-hmm. We're not really attending to him. We're just kind
of...
Or, you know,
our friends at the school.
Yeah, I don't think that group message chat got any...
Sorry, guys. If you're listening, I don't doubt you. Oh, here's a... Oh, that's not the group. I was so excited.
I have my eyes glued to it. Anyone? Attention, please? Nothing.
Not even our one-time listeners. Shoutouts to Michelle and Amanda, who aren't listening right now.
I think Amanda was a one-time deal. Michelle has done a couple.
Nope. I have so many different GroupMes.
Really?
It's hard to... Yeah, and I have a GroupMe with... like four or five of the same people in maybe four or five of the same GroupMes. You know, it's just a different amalgamation of those people.
Uh-huh.
I have a block group chat. I have a block group chat with two other people.
Uh-huh.
Like two extra people added.
Oh. Okay.
And then I have a separate group chat for my side of the block because our rooms are connected. And then I have a group chat with a different section of the block. It's nuts.
That's brings up a good point. Me and Julian were talking about this the other day. I was talking about everyone has their different circles, right?
Yeah.
But I have two like big circles that I'm equally attached to.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like theorizing, like when is it almost impossible to try to either amalgamate two and just, you know, bridge the gap and make two different groups of people know each other? And in the case of group chats, I feel really weird when it only happens in groups upwards of like six people where you have subgroup chats and then you have cliques within your clique.
Yes. Yeah.
Really weird. And our question was, when does it start to like dissolve? Like when is it?
When does the larger friend group become the smaller friend groups?
When is it forced that at what size is like, all right, we got to segregate. There has to be different.
You know, that's
it's a good social experiment because I was saying I think I could easily maintain a solid group of eight. That's not to say that there won't be, you know, people who are more friendly with certain people than others, but I don't think there would be any specific click in eight. I think when you hit about 10, that's when
10,
it breaks
yeah.
down. That's when I think it breaks down.
It really depends on... like, well, for example, I have different group chats with my friends in my block. Not to say that we're more close to each other than others, but because we have one group chat for, like, when we want to play Smash Bros. And we try to set up a time or something like that. Right? Nice. Not everyone in our main group chat cares about that.
Right.
Because not everyone
plays
it.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, classifying based on interest isn't that bad.
Yeah, that's more
like
of
when you're just like, I don't like Joe.
Yeah.
Joe's a jerk.
And like, then we live with Joe, but we also hate him, so we should exclude him from everything we do.
Yeah, yeah.
And slowly make him hate his life.
All right, we're coming up to 15 minutes. So that's probably a good point for some music. You browse while I.
Oh, I've got right now.
Oh, okay. All right, what are we going for?
Ooh, all right. Let's go with Greek Tragedy by the Wombats.
Greek Tragedy by the Wombats, and this is Mocha Gumbo. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Enjoy the music, and we love you.
Should've known better. And I can't feel no remorse. And you don't feel nothing bad.
The smoothest transition we've ever had.
Yeah, it wasn't. I got a little lazy there.
So you guys are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. I am still James.
And I'm still Kevin. And what are we just playing? We played
Ophelia by Lumineers.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my Maureen's favorites. I'm sure she's gonna text me and
Whose favorites?
My mom.
Oh, lovely.
She's a big fan of Lumineers.
They have such a nice sound. I don't know.
Yeah, they make sure you're fairly close to the mic.
You good?
Yep. Yeah, there you go. I like the soft indie folk.
Mm-hmm.
And I especially like it with Mumford is pretty much rock to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's very
this is like the perfect loud. Blend of oh, here's some rock, here's some of that soft indie folk. Put them together. It's not overpowering. It's still mellow, but it's got that boom clap. It's got the bass. It's got the drum. It's got everything it needs.
I think Of Monsters and Men does that all right, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I used to be addicted to a... what was their big hit?
Little Talks?
Little Talks, yeah. That was...
That's such a sweet song, though. Yeah, it's so
for
soft.
A, for
it's
a pop like... hit, that's one of the ones yeah, that right? I've kept, you know? That okay. usually... We've talked about this. I'm usually like the oh, is that on America's Top 40? Then I'm not listening to it, but because I know
does that have more than 10,000 views?
Not. Yeah, it's not edgy enough. But sure that is. that was one of the ones that I was like, yeah, that was a keeper.
I feel that.
My
Spotify Discover Weekly has been killing it recently. All the songs from
I haven't been going on my, those. The more I use it, the better it gets.
Yeah, right? That's how the algorithm works. I'm writing a paper on it, actually. Or I wrote a paper on it, but I'm not getting into the details of that. But basically, the gist of it is that the way it recommends things to you is it looks at all of your songs and all your playlists and looks at everyone else's songs and playlists in the world. And if you happen to have two songs on a playlist that other people have the same two songs of, and then there's a third song that also appears on a lot of playlists with that, it'll recommend that song to you.
Okay, so it basically just sees the it's least common denominator of similar. All right, so whoever's the most similar to you, it'll just recommend their music.
Yeah, in some cases, yeah. Oh. It's really interesting because like that kind of algorithm doesn't need to understand like complex media like movies or TV or right. music to be able to recommend things, which is pretty cool to me. But
there's certain things that I think no matter the way it's basically compatibility. It looks at other users.
Yeah.
In the general sense, it looks at other users and matches those whose tastes are yours and then recommends songs that you don't have that they do, or vice versa.
Yes.
The problem is, certain parts of, like, there are certain indispensable parts of a song that I like. I like just a kick drum, or I like a boom clap, and I'm impatient. I need a great intro.
Okay.
If there's not a hook, I'm out. And that doesn't really come into play. Sometimes, like, this is more philosophical than anything, but there are songs that I typically wouldn't otherwise enjoy, probably just for just the musicality of it. But like, think about like Ocean Avenue by Yellow Card. You know that song?
No.
Okay. What about All the Small Things?
Yes.
You have like All the Small Things, sure, a great song, but I think for most people it's like, wow, I remember when I first heard this and I felt, you know, I was like the edgy rebellious kid with the graphic tee on, and I was biking around my neighborhood, whatever. There are certain songs that just are sentimental, and they don't take that into account. Because I've gotten some really out there songs on my playlist that just seem to be like the driftwood in the
absolutely
in this compatibility algorithm or whatever it is.
Yeah, I there are definitely those songs that I identify with a lot. Like there are certain, and it's interesting that music can evoke emotion so powerfully and so well.
Just keep talking.
Yeah, wow. I'm a really sensitive guy. I'm also single for our listener. No, but all joking aside, it is incredible that that vibrations in our eardrums can evoke emotion.
Yeah. It's also kind of reductive. That's really all it is. It's not that special.
Yeah, that's like it. You can reduce anything down to bare bones and have it not be incredible, but
yeah, and then you can drive yourself crazy and go insane like Kafka or something. I'm not that guy.
Are you sure you're not that guy?
No, I used to be.
I feel like you might be.
I read The Will to Power by I don't know how you pronounce German names.
Yeah, it's don't like, don't
Nietzsche,
even try.
Nietzsche.
That was Russian. Russian sounds like backwards English.
It might be
down,
Russian. I
right?
actually don't know.
Like, right? That's Russian. That was Russian for I'm on the radio right now.
I wonder if that would be. We should do that one of these shows. We should take just any piece of audible Russian and then rewind it and see if it sounds like English.
I don't think any of that's going to sound like anything.
No, totally not. But, there was a period where I read The Will to Power, which, just for context, is something that Hitler used to keep in his, like, nightstand. All right, wait, slow down. It's like the pinnacle of, like, wow, look how edgy I am. I'm reading this philosophy that's super dark or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
I didn't actually read it. I used to carry it around and always, like...
Oh, no.
I used to always be like, all right, I'm going to get to this. Like, I'd bring it on vacation and be like, all right, I'm going to sit... And never. I would read like two pages and be like, all right, yep.
You are one of those people.
Mm-hmm. I was. I'm not so much as pretentious.
I
just wanted to be Ernest Hemingway so badly. It's really hard. I just wanted to be Gatsby. You can't just be Gatsby. It's really difficult.
You know who I've really taken a liking to in terms of literature is, and this is a bit cliched, but I...
J.K. Rowling.
No.
Dr. Seuss.
Well, yes, but... more recently.
Okay.
I've been a Seuss fan since my younger
years.
Don't
get me started on my Seuss.
Come on.
I could talk about Seuss all day.
I could talk about Seuss all day. I got Hop on Pop. I got I got Green Eggs and Ham. I got Fox and Socks. What's he doing with socks? He's a fox, you know? Anyway, as I was saying.
You gotta get out of that. You'll get stuck there if you keep going.
I, yeah. The, like, so it's addictive. Just doing that. Yeah,
it's
absolutely
fun.
Ray Bradbury.
Oh,
I love Ray Bradbury. He has such a... It's not necessarily like a macabre, but it's a very strange thread of science fiction that is just... It's very... It makes you think. That's really... all. Like, it's sorry, thought-provoking, rather. It's
all right, if we want to get really snarky about literature, because I totally would. Oh, wow, I just got a text from my parents. I'll tell you about that in a second.
All right.
What was I saying? If we want to get snarky about literature.
Yeah.
The thing that I like about Bradbury is his particular literary panache when it comes to imagery.
He's a savant. It's incredible.
I don't really like Bradbury for the story, to be honest. Have you been like reading like short stories and stuff?
I have
just a little bits and pieces.
I have The Illustrated Man and I have The October Country, two anthologies.
There's a story I read a while ago. I think it's called Dark They Were and Golden-Eyed.
Okay.
It's about Martians. But it doesn't really matter that we're talking about Martians or the plot. The fact is he realizes it so obviously. He sounds like he's describing a natural phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Just as like Thoreau would describe like the woods or nature. And it's already there. It's not like... It's just... observance of a thing that is.
Mm-hmm.
Bradbury makes it sound like he's describing a phenomena that exists.
It's incredible. Yeah. He can picture it so well.
But it's so detailed. Not even detailed. It's so... Wow. I can tell that I'm being...
No.
Because I just said detailed instead of detailed. It's so detailed that he doesn't have to justify that it's real or force it upon you with any other mechanism other than his purely like presuming descriptions. Like this is here and I'm telling you what it looks like.
Yeah.
It's very strange. I don't know how he does it.
There's just something about him. I don't know. I personally, for some of the stories I've read recently, they are thought-provoking, and I'm not sure if it is the same for you, but it's one of my favorite stories by him is it's about people on a space station or some kind of spacecraft, mm-hmm. and one of the passengers is insane, and everyone thinks he's insane, and his thought process is that if he can't see someone or something, they're gone. Like it's a Schrodinger's cat kind of thing where...
Really? That like, sounds
where
interesting.
Where we're up here, everyone on Earth could be dead, and we wouldn't know it. We would have no way of knowing. Even he walked in the next room. Everyone in the room I just left is dead. Just they could not exist, and I could not know. Right? Because like everyone you know,
that is really
every single person you know right now
mm-hmm.
could be gone. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And or at least
this is gonna mess me up.
Right?
For a
it's
while.
Insane. I read that story and I was like, yeah. I don't like this at all. It was, it's very jarring to think about things that way. Because in essence, everyone is a Schrodinger's cat. You don't know where everyone is at all times unless you're constantly communicating with them.
Right.
And even in the world of technology today, unless you have visual proof through some sort of like FaceTime or a Snapchat or something, like you can take someone's phone and text and pretend to be them, right?
Sure. So it's very applicable.
Yeah, so the idea that everyone you know could just be gone and you wouldn't know about it until later.
In certain circumstances, that might be great. I slowly swivel on my chair and look at the wall. Oh, look, James, you're dead. he's got that the same way I romanticize Bradbury. I'm not a huge fan. I like him.
Hmm.
But I'm a big fan of The Twilight Zone.
Oh, yeah. My
and
dad
they're,
makes watch
they're,
that all the time.
Kith and kin, like they're very, very similar,
very reminiscent,
and it the same atmosphere. It's like this is real, accept it as such, and then I think the part of it is the macabre part isn't like Poe, where you're like, wow, look how dark this is, you know,
it's
like
bleak.
I'm so mad and
I think bleak
angry.
Is the right word,
it's... bleak, but it's not like forced tragedy. It's like, oh, this is here. Let's explore it a little more. It doesn't try to make tragedy tragic, you know. Like
it's like the norm. Like
it's not like you have to be like, quoth the raven, nevermore. it's just there.
It's more like life sucks and
yeah. Let's look at it.
Yeah, let's
look at
see it.
Uh-huh. Wow, we just got
I so enjoyed that conversation. Cultured.
Yeah, no, I do too. It's nice that we can't just be like, hey, James, poop. We gotta have some, a little bit of culture. Don't do that.
Hey, Kevin, you're dead.
I like how that probably came in on the mic because you turned away and it gives the effect when you do this. You can pretty much feel in your ears that someone's turning away.
Honestly, I love that. The microphones are very good in this room.
That was a good technological assessment. I think, yeah. Oh, yeah, these are the good microphones
from the good company. Not the bad ones, though.
No.
The bad ones would make the sounds not good.
Yeah, but these are good and they make sound good.
Yeah, so we can hear ourselves loudly.
Yeah.
Is it picking up on my disappointment of you, or are they, are they not that good yet?
No, they are. Have you ever done, speaking of like the effects of sound? Because I had an actual radio teacher when I was in high school.
Okay,
and he used to teach us theater of the mind, basically, which is. We would listen to War of the Worlds, and I actually became fascinated with it because.
A War of the Worlds is great.
Some of the radio does have a spe- even though it might seem like an outdated medium for entertainment of the narrative kind, it really isn't. Because sound and narration, I think, is sometimes more powerful than reading. Because when you're reading, you don't really get enunciation or you don't get emphasis. You have to put it there yourself. Sometimes you misplace it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Radio can really force an image on you with the right amount of emphasis. And I, you know, I used to love it. And he showed us, to really get drive the point home, it was a it's 3D sound. I don't know how they do it, but they basically put a bunch of pressure mics in a room.
Okay.
Which contain like a 180 degree sphere of sound. They collect sound in 180 degree, sphere, whatever. Put several of them around and you can create this 3D perception of sound. Like, you know how you can kind of echolocate something if you close your eyes?
If you're walking.
Yeah, and I'll clap my hands over here or clap my hands over there. You'll be able to tell generally what direction. This was not just linear, as in, oh, this is left, this is right. It felt like you could tell roughly how many feet behind you
something was. Oh, that's really
concerning. Or in any XYZ fashion. And it was basically I'll play it for you actually whenever we have time. But it's like a 3D haircut, 3D auditory haircut, and it's crazy, it's insane how real this feels. Actually, if you're listening and you're not my mom.
Oh my
or dad,
God, Amy and Gabby are listening.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, we love you. I do love you though. Oh, by the way, Gabby, I can't do the thing on the 20th. Love you, though.
That's a lot of shade. For our two viewers, come on.
We just instantly lost them. Anyway, no.
She just said she wanted a shout-out, but we already gave her one. So we're not doing another one.
Yeah, wow. She didn't even have to ask. Look how much we love you.
We have to get that the viewership to continue.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't know. I don't know if I want the viewership to be. It's going to change. Not viewership. Listenership? Is that what we call it?
No, this is a visual medium.
Is it?
Yeah.
I really don't want to get self-conscious.
Gabby flipped you off.
Okay. I don't want too many people that I have to... I don't think I'd get performance anxiety, but I just would never want to know how many people are listening at one time.
That's fair.
Because then the conversation becomes disingenuous, and it's just me trying to like. I feel like I would.
Well, we've had this conversation a lot.
Right, but I'm thinking now in practical terms, I have a feeling my actual reaction would be like to just blurt out something, try to be a comic, you know, like a character.
No,
be
you
like,
do that.
Well, that's what you get when you two birds and one stone.
Yeah, and then he hit the sound with a whirr.
Yeah, I don't want to be gimmicky. We are coming up to 40 minutes, so it's been another 25 since we, or probably about another 15 since we last
played. Do you want to hit one song and then come back?
Yeah, we can hit one, come back. What are we coming to? 5:44, yeah. So we'll play one, we'll come back, we'll talk for a little bit, and then we'll sign us out with some music.
All right.
What are we going to?
I don't know. Do you want me to do...
I want you to do whatever you want to do.
I don't know what I want to do. I was thinking Dr. Dog.
Oh, classic. Dr. Dog.
I have it up here, remember?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Let's do These Days by Dr. Dog.
These Days by Dr. Dog. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Enjoy the music. We love you.
Time to get up and let go. Hey, brother, listen steady. Baby, can you move around the rhythm so we can get with and to the ground? Get us a rock and roll round. With a down, down body, body coming with a super hearty. Let's go, go, so hell no. Baby, can you move around the rhythm? Cause you know we're living in the last lane. Speed up, it ain't no game. Just turn up all the beams when I come up on the scene.
Welcome back. You're still listening to WJRA 24.9 FM Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania, and this is Del Monte Combo, and we're coming up to the top of the hour. We've got about 10 minutes left. Probably sign us off with the song, but in the meantime, we totally forgot to plug our show.
Oh, yeah.
Which we gotta do.
Show. This is our show, but...
Yeah. To our parents and the people who directed it already listening.
Yeah,
not a very good plug, not very useful anyway.
Yeah, so if you guys are listening and aren't in Marquee Players, be sure to check out 9 to 5. We're putting on a musical from Thursday, Friday, Saturday of next week. That's the 6th, 7th, and 8th.
We got two 8 o'clock shows and one matinee.
And a 3 p.m. matinee, yeah. Kevin actually plays...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kevin
check it out for this reason.
Yeah, Kevin plays Hart. If you want to see... I mean, more misogynistic than you usually are.
Yeah. Oh, because I'm just the picture.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Awful. You are.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That was a...
Wait. There's a... Just because I'm a womanizer doesn't mean okay. I'm misogynist.
All
okay?
right, all right, all right.
No, but yeah, I play basically the villain. And we were talking before about how it's really weird playing... Really, in general, just villains, you know?
You know what I think is interesting about villains, and this is what I wanted to talk to you about earlier, is I like the idea of a villain that doesn't know or think he is a villain.
Yeah, no, you know that's what, I mean? What we were saying. Like, we don't like the 2D archetypal, like, I'm the bad guy in this narrative. Yeah, it's, like, boring. But yeah. It's... And obviously, like, if you're going to make a big boy piece of... literature or any sort of narrative, you're not gonna just be like, and this is the bad guy and he's mean and everyone hates him. Obviously not. But in the case of there are a couple of just like base villains, like this is the guy you're supposed to hate, that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Like obviously, like the Joker, like who doesn't love thinking the Joker's a madman?
Yeah.
And hating him just for being purely evil. But I don't know why it is that I do. Like, I can discern between certain villains that are just useless to me and other ones that are, even though they're just as 2D, are still fun and entertaining.
Yeah. The one I was thinking of in particular is a villain who thinks he is the hero in his story. Does that make sense? So,
right.
Have you ever seen Disney? I'm not sure if it was Disney or Pixar.
I've never seen any Disney movie.
Megamind. Have you never seen
Megamind?
That? Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh man, I forgot about that.
Where the fallen hero the fallen villain becomes a hero,
yeah.
And the fallen hero becomes the villain.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
he thinks he's the hero the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very three-dimensional person to me, at least in my opinion. I think it's so incredible to see someone operate from the standpoint or the ideal that they are doing a good thing when they're actually just it's, I don't really know how to put it. I can't articulate it well, but
you
know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right? But the problem is, for all purposes of art, because I'm a curator of what's of high culture.
Kevin, you're dead again.
But even like, despite that, there, I love the guy that's just, I like stupid narratives. I like stupid characters who are just are very easy to comprehend. Like, I think the reason that I like those, and a lot of people like the just the villain, like classic, you know, comic book.
Yeah, comic book bad guy.
Pulp villain.
Yeah.
Is he's easy to comprehend, and he makes puts the good and evil in compartments, so you don't have to mix them ever.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's good when you're a kid, because it's hard to be like, wait, but he's the bad guy, but he just had a good thought. That doesn't make any sense.
Bad guys have to be bad. It's boring.
Yeah, bad guys have to shoot people and hurt. Yeah, I don't want my bad guy to have any redeeming qualities whatsoever. No,
exactly. You don't want to start identifying with your villain.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. Sometimes bad people are not necessarily always bad people.
Well, all right. So take like. Whoa, that's not gonna make me stop identifying. Like, think of who is it? Julian.
Benici?
Julian Benici.
Oh, okay.
Benici.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, Julian's a horrible guy. I hate him.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Absolute villain in my life.
As a roommate, he's pretty bad.
As a lab partner. Oh boy.
And as a human. But no, I love you, Julian.
Me too. I love you.
Dexter. We were talking about Dexter.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Dexter.
He's a serial killer who kills serial killers.
Yeah. But Dexter is just a very, at least in the first couple seasons, he's just a sociopath.
Yeah.
And it's really easy. You don't have to marriage any of his, like, oh, but he's a vigilante or something. Mm-hmm. No, he just kills people.
Yeah.
But
he's the protagonist.
Julian's complaint about it, and at first it was like, well, you just don't know what good theater.
Stop it.
And then, but after a while, I was like, no, that makes sense. He was like, I don't like him because they make him seem to be a good guy, but he kills people, and he's a sociopath.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Julian, you just, no, that's the point. And then I'm thinking about it, I'm like, no, you know, I get it.
Yeah. That leads people to believe that it's okay to kill people as long as they're bad people.
Well,
right, but that doesn't make you a good person. Yeah. You're still a bad person for killing people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you feel about that.
That's our big takeaway for the day, folks.
Yeah, don't kill people.
You're still a bad guy if you kill people with your intentions. Wow, we are
lots of good preachers. Life lessons this time.
Yeah.
Speaking of Preacher, great series, great comic book series.
No, TV sorry. Series. I was never one of those.
Basically, like. Genesis, the God Spirit. I'm not getting into this right now.
Did you?
He possesses.
No. That sounded like one of the, like, if you were trying to stereotype like the guy who hangs out in the comic book section, like you make up that name. What did you say?
Preacher or Genesis?
Genesis the what?
Like, he's like a God baby. That's like an actual thing though, and I hate.
As much as I would indulge you, but we're coming up to 5:58. That leaves us very little time.
Yeah.
But remember, yes, the show is this weekend. As for this weekend, we hope you have a good one. We hope you enjoyed listening to us. We hope we gave you some new music. Probably not, because we played a total of 4 songs. Maybe some new insights. Whatever your takeaway.
Life lessons.
Do with it what you will. Yeah, don't kill people. That's our big. We should start doing like a moral at the end of. All of our shows, something that if they haven't gleaned it, like Aesop's Fables, will pretty much force it on them. Today is don't kill people.
And today's also listen to our show.
So. Yeah, do it. Except for next week.
because we won't be here. We'll be sweaty.
Ooh. Basically. We're sweaty. That's half the reason I joined Marquee Players is because you basically you get a free sauna tech week.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to like a Turkish bathhouse.
I don't trust those.
But I will. Okay, so that was the show. Have a great weekend. Tune in not next week, but the following week. We will be back at it. And hopefully from there on, we will be all good and pretty reliable.
Yeah.
No major conflicts.
I would hope so, at least.
But this has been Mocha Gumbo, and you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. Stay gorgeous, Easton and Lafayette, and we will see you soon.